Welcome to the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Each week, I help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. Security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, those are just a few of the things that we cover. And the main purpose of the Middle East Report is to encourage you to read, study, and apply the Word of God in your life. And the best way to do that is to connect to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word. And I help you do that each and every day. Thank you for joining me. And I just want to remind you that you can download a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcasts. We have the podcast and all the major podcast platforms out there. And also, you can go to AFR.net, click on the podcast tab, look for the Middle East Reports, and you'll be able to find all the information there about what we do and listen to all of the shows, including archived editions of the Middle East Report. Today is a very, very special program because we are going to find out what is happening in a part of the world that you hear about a lot in the news. And I'm talking about the country of Iran. And in the midst of this Iranian regime that continues to kill, imprison, and oppress its citizens, and anyone who disagrees, you know, with their twisted view of the world, this is a regime that's bent on destroying Israel and Christianity, a regime that provides weapons to its proxies. God is moving in that country. Thousands of Iranians are coming to know the Lord as their Savior. So it is amazing, and we're happy to have Dr. Hormuz Shariat, founder and president of Iran Alive Ministries. Dr. Hormuz grew up in Iran in a Muslim home, became a follower of Jesus in 1980 after doing a comparative study of the Bible and Quran. He's got a PhD in artificial intelligence. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. Dr. Shariat, it is good to have you here.
Good to be back. I know I was with you a few years back, but so much has happened the last few years in Iran.
Well, we want everybody who's listening today to know about Iran Alive and just what you guys are doing in that country.
Well, it's all the Lord's grace. He has positioned us, Iran Alive, to have a major impact, very tangible impact in the future of Iran and future of Christianity in Iran. The last 25 years, we have been on the air. We have a 24/7 satellite broadcast, which allows us go over the heads of these mullahs and go into people's homes. The signal comes from the sky. They cannot stop it. So we go to the privacy of their homes in the living rooms and tell them about the love of Christ and the salvation that Jesus offers. And you know what? On the other side, the Lord has prepared the hearts of millions of people to receive this signal, to receive this message. Now, that's why Iran has the fastest growing evangelical population in the world. They are so receptive to the gospel.
Well, that statement that you just shared is probably very shocking to a lot of people because a lot of people don't know that God is moving in the country of Iran. And you mentioned the satellite broadcast that is reaching, and we're going to talk about the underground church in Iran. But that's new information for a lot of people that God is moving in the country of Iran.
He does, and it shouldn't be surprising. You know, I say Iran will be a Christian nation, and people will say, oh, are you crazy? Where did you get that idea? And I tell them, I stole that idea. Where did you steal it from? I stole it from Jeremiah 49, 38. I stole it from the Lord. The Lord promises he will set his throne in Elam, which is today land of Iran. It's completely inside Iran. So we know the end result, that Iran will be a Christian nation. And when I say that, people don't believe me, but I say, don't believe me, believe the Bible, because God promises that. So that we are moving fast in the fulfillment of Jeremiah 49 with the people of Iran. On the other hand, Ezekiel 38, we are moving, or the government of Iran is moving in the fulfillment of that prophecy, which Iran will attack Israel. So there are two sets of prophecies. Iran will attack Israel, Ezekiel 38. Iran will be saved, Jeremiah 49. Amazingly, both are happening, both are being fulfilled at the same time. The government of Iran is fulfilling Ezekiel 38. The people of Iran are fulfilling Jeremiah 49. Iran will be saved.
Those are amazing statements. And, you know, you mentioned biblical prophecy and you mentioned Israel. You mentioned, Ezekiel 37. Where do you see us prophetically right now in this time that we are in? I mean, there's a war going on in the Middle East. We're hearing about Iran, and it's just crazy out there right now.
Well, what I see is, as the end time events happen, you look at Matthew 24, 25, talks about all those suffering and all the events of wars, rumors of wars, and famine and everything else. So at the same time, the end time events brings the end time harvest. So we have to understand that when things get darker, we Christians, we will have a more impactful message for the world. So the same with Iran and Israel. As the suffering grows, as these events happen, even with the war with Israel, you know, Hamas with Israel, you saw what ISIS did, and what ISIS did opened up the hearts of the millions of Muslims have come to Christ since ISIS did what it did. So we as Christians, we have to don't look at these crises. We have to look at opportunities. And that's what's happening. The darker this world gets, the lighter our light will shine. The brighter our light will shine. So we have to be alert. We have to be, don't fall asleep. Jesus says, be awake. Work while it's the day. So that's what we do in Iran Alive. I'm watchful. Every bad event happens in Iran, we use it for the kingdom. And we see, for every bad event happens in Iran, we see a wave of salvations coming to us.
Well, that is encouraging, what you are sharing today, Dr. Hormuz Shariat with Iran Alive. I want to encourage you to find out more about Iran Alive, iranalive.org, iranalive.org. Iran. Let's talk about that regime that currently is there in that country. What is the goal for Iran for the world?
The government of Iran, they came in power through Islam, deceiving people, promising them a new life, a new country, freedom, but they did exactly the reverse. Many people have been killed and are being killed. There is no freedom even to put, you know, to what you wear. You're not free even to choose what you wear. So no freedom of speech, no freedom of choice. So the people of Iran have come to a point that Islam is not our answer, is our problem. So let's talk about the people of Iran, done with Islam. Now, the government of Iran, at this point, their only goal is to survive. They had this mandate, they felt when they came in power, that they want to take over the world until Mahdi, their Messiah, will come back. So they feel that this is their mission, to use all the resources of Iran to take over the world with Islam. And they tried it, and they still are trying, with supporting terrorism around the world. So, but they have been pretty much defeated, and they are being defeated. So they're not talking that big anymore. At this point, because the government of Iran is so weak, at the verge of collapse, did you know that? They could come down in the next few months or couple of years. It's very weak, Iranian government. So at this point, their number one goal is not to take over the world with Islam. Number one goal is, let's survive. We're dying. We're sinking. So they will use all the money they have, the power, the killing, intimidation, fear, anything they're doing, the executions, whatever they have to do, they're doing to stay in power.
Well, you know so much about the country of Iran for a lot of reasons, but you grew up in Iran. You know that country. You grew up there. Your brother was killed by the Iranian regime, and we could talk a lot about that. People just need to go to iranalive.org, find out your entire story there. So the Iranian people, you say, no longer claim Islam as their faith. And what's going on with that? And maybe just a little information about the truth about Islam. And my question is it a peaceful religion?
Well, ask the people of Iran. It's not a peaceful religion. Iran is the only nation that has been led by clergy in over 45 years. So when people of Iran are rejecting Islam, it's not an overnight emotional decision. They've experienced it for over 45 years. They know what Islam is. They've experienced it, and they're rejecting it. You ask Iranian, what is Islam? They can tell you from experience. So Islam came into power by violence and intimidation. from the day one, from Prophet Muhammad, and no regards for human life. You see it from day one. So the government of Iran is just following Islam. I remember ISIS giving that challenge when they were killing many people. They gave this challenge. They said, tell us, what are we doing which is against Islam? Show us a verse that we are breaking. We are following Islam. We're following Quran. So Iranian government has implemented Islam, and people have looked at it and said, we know what Islam is, and we don't want it. That's why Iran is against Islam. Iranians are against Islam. And Islam has experienced its greatest defeat in its history in Iran today. When I say Iran is no longer an Islamic nation, and people used to, again, say, are you crazy? Just Google it. It's just, it's 99% Muslim. I say, no. I used to say, no, it's not. I'm in touch with Iranians as a broadcaster every day. But you know what? 2 years ago, I got a solid evidence. There was a survey done by two university professors in Europe. They asked 50,000 Iranians, what do you believe? So that's a solid research. Can you believe it? Less than one-third of Iranians said, we believe in Islam. Less than one-third. Another one-third said, either God is irrelevant or I don't believe there is any God. And the last one-third were looking all over the place. They were looking at Eastern religion, New Age religions, and of course, Christianity. That's why Christianity is growing so fast.
We're talking to Dr. Hormuz Shariat. Iran Alive is the organization, iranalive.org. I want to encourage you to find out more about that organization, how you can get involved with what they are doing. And this has to be so encouraging to everybody who's listening right now, because of all the bad news out there, you are seeing so many people in Iran come to know Jesus.
Exactly. It's the Lord has opened the hearts of the people. Sometimes I feel the frustration of our Lord. I mean, he says, what can I do? I have done whatever I could have done. I died on the cross for these Muslims. The Lord loves the world. He loves Muslims. He wants the Muslims to be saved. Then he says, okay, I have opened their hearts to the gospel. And by the way, I'm appearing to them in visions and dreams and miracles. So what else you want me to do? I've done my part. You do your part. Just share the gospel. And that's why we just shared the simplest message of the gospel, John. When I'm on the air, the simplest 30-second, 1 minute version of the gospel, people call in and they come to Christ. Let me share this story. You know, we are not a typical Christian channel that you see in the West. I'm not very critical because there are many good things, but our channel is a church. We deliver church. We deliver church services. We have live prayer meeting. We have classes. So we go into people's homes and deliver whatever they need, spiritual food that they need. And one of the things we do is a weekly church service. And that's most popular because there is no church in Iran. The churches are closed. So that's 1 to 2 million believers come to that church every Friday. And let me share this. After the church, we have this Zoom open. It's like meet the pastor. Come and talk to me, and I'll pray for you. And often, there's so many Muslims come to that, and they ask questions to come to Christ. Now, this one event, I never forget, because I asked them, okay, I do 2 hours. First hour for Muslims to come and ask questions. The second is for Christians. I'm their pastor. So they want to talk to their pastor. So first hour, I had Muslims, okay, who wants to receive Christ? And they were coming one by one, 30-second, 1 minute of presentation of the gospel, they were praying. And what amazed me, John, was that their questions were not serious. Many of them had seen Jesus, and they just wanted to know what is this. I remember this lady who was saying, a month ago, I accidentally watched your program. She said, I have no problem. I'm wealthy. I'm healthy. I have a good marriage. No drug addicts in my family, which is a big problem in Iran. But a month ago, I accidentally watched your program, and I felt so peaceful. Next morning, I got up. I still was peaceful because everything I had did not give me peace. But that little program I watched, I don't know why, it gave me peace. The next day, it gave me peace. So the last few months, 2-3 months, I have been very peaceful every day. Just I'm calling, so what is this all about? What did Jesus do on the cross? I mean, why do I have so much peace? Just talking to Jesus, why? So many times people call because they have seen Jesus. Sometimes they call to ask questions and then they see Jesus and confirms their message they have. Now, that day, non-believers, Muslims lined up for 2-3 hours. I never got to talk to Christians that day. All Muslims were there asking questions, not in a negative way. I remember one person calls and said, I have a very tough question. Okay, why do you say Jesus is God? That's a big hurdle for Muslims to come to Christ. Then I said, oh, that's so hard to answer. It takes many minutes and to convince him about why Jesus is God and give him evidences. I said, I'll try. I started with number one reason. I was explaining it. 30 seconds later, he interrupts me. He said, that's enough. I want to pray to receive Christ. Even the toughest questions the Muslims ask, God has touched their heart. It's not relevant. They want Jesus. It's our job. Nation is ready. It's our job to share the gospel. I want to challenge our listeners. This is the time to make history in Iran. Iran is at the verge of coming to Christ and becoming the first Islamic nation that comes to Christ. If we work together, if we work while the spiritual heaven is open in Iran, hearts are open. We got to move because this open window will not last long. So that's why I don't say we are really super spiritual. The gospel is powerful. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's powerful. I share it. I see miracles. I see healings. I see salvations. I see people being set free from drug addictions. Gospel is powerful. Let's work together to set his throne in Iran and advance his kingdom. And once Iran is saved, the whole Middle East and maybe even the world will be impacted.
We're talking to Dr. Hormuz Shariat. He is the founder of Iran Alive, and he's been talking about the satellite ministry that they have that goes directly into the country of Iran. Over 6 million people that are tuning into that broadcast every single day. And I want to encourage you to find out more about Iran Alive, iranalive.org, iranalive.org. You can get all the information about that ministry and about what they are doing. And I will tell you this, they are a solid organization that you can sow into financially. They're accountable to their funds. So you can do that confidently. Dr. Shariat, let's talk about the underground church there in Iran. Obviously, we're not going to get specific, but how is the underground church doing in Iran? What kind of things are they facing so that people can understand that and maybe pray for them?
Underground church in Iran. Number one, they don't have a church. They're all into their homes, privacy of their homes. They can't even get into a house church. House churches are few and very weak in Iran. And the government is against it. And sometimes I feel the government of Iran believes in the power of church more than we do. Because do you know if you attend a church in Iran, a house church, you get 5 to 10 years in jail. They're afraid of us Christians getting together. So Iran, full of on fire baby Christians. They know what they found, but they don't have elders. They don't have pastors, just all babies. They need feeding. They need us to teach them, to help them. But they're on fire and they're fearless. They are not afraid. When they contact us, I sometimes say, be careful, be careful. Are you calling from home? I say, why are you afraid? We are not afraid. One of them was saying, it's the government of Iran who is afraid of us. We have the power of the gospel. That's why they want to put us in jail. So the brave, the courage that they have is amazing. And it comes from the love of Christ. And it comes from knowing that you've come from darkness to light. Let me share this story with you. Of course, we use our satellite television not just to evangelize. We plant churches and we feed them. See, through satellite television, you teach people how to have church. The good thing about satellite television is you don't have to tell them. You can show them. So we model. This is how the house church looks like. You do it. So there are many. We have planted many, many underground house churches, and we are feeding them through media. We feed them. We give them lessons. We encourage them to do it. Lessons. Now, one time, some of our leaders were arrested. And we're very careful, and we've learned a lot right now. But our leaders were arrested. And you know, when one leader is arrested, they're being tortured to get the names of the rest of the leaders. So the rest of our leaders, are they going to give our names? Are they going to come after us? They're being tortured. They know their friend right now is in jail, is being tortured. And if he or she opens her mouth, they all will be arrested. So you know what they did? Amazing. They gathered they fasted every day while their friend was in jail. And they gathered every night to break the fast with communion. Every night they did communion. So I told them, what do you do at communion every night? So we fast, we cannot do anything. We just pray, pray for our friend, pray for the government. And this is what really touched my heart. They said, when we take the communion, we remember Jesus said, I will take this and the last time, and next time I will do it in heaven. And whenever we are taking it, we say, this may be our last communion. Maybe the next one, we will do it with Jesus in heaven. So we take the communion knowing this could be our last one. The courage, the love they have for Jesus is amazing.
It is amazing, and it's hard for Westerners in the United States to understand what the church is going through, and it's not an organized church, a building, but just as you described, in homes all across Iran. It's hard for us to understand, you know, what is going on there, because we just don't have that concept. But what you are sharing really should motivate you as you're listening today to pray for the church there and to get involved with Iran Alive, because, listen, they are in the forefront of what God is doing there in the country of Iran, bringing the gospel in with this satellite broadcasting 24/7, which, Dr. Shariat, I think is a miracle in itself, because, I mean, just the fact that you're able to get into Iran and that Iran is not trying to hinder you in any way of getting to the people, that's a miracle. People need to pray about that, too.
That's right. They cannot. That signal comes from the sky into privacy of people's homes, and the government is mad. I get life threats. They're very alarmed at what we are doing, but they cannot stop it. They cannot. And the church is growing. The young people in Iran, amazing, amazing. I call them the fatherless and fearless. Of the generation. They're not afraid of the government. They're not afraid of Allah. They're ready to live and die for Jesus. Let me share this story if you have a minute. Yeah. There was this young man calling us multiple times a day saying, I want to talk to Pastor Ramos. Of course, we have these counselors. They answer these phone calls and all that. But he said, he insisted, I want to talk to Pastor Ramos every day. So they told me, this young man just wants to talk to you. I said, ask him, what's the case? And the next day they said, he says that he came to Christ when he was 19 through our satellite television. Then he learned how to share the gospel through us. Then he learned how to start churches. He had never contacted us until now. So he evangelized his friends, and within 2 years he had 5 house churches. And then he got arrested at the age of 22. And he has been in jail for the last 5 years. He's been tortured. And they just released him for 1 week. He has 6 more months to go in jail. 1 week to go get medical attention. Because of torture, he had internal bleeding. So they said, go have medical attention. You have to come back. So the reason he was calling every day, because he had a limited time he wanted to talk, he had to go back to jail. So I said, okay, I want to talk to him. Next day, they said he's on the phone. I never forget that day, John. I was walking to pick up the phone, and I'm struggling in my mind. What am I going to tell this young man? What is he going to ask me? Let me prepare myself. Maybe he would say, where was God when I was arrested? If I was serving him, if he's loving and he's powerful, why did he allow me to be arrested? And by the way, when I was being tortured, where was God? And where were you, Pastor Hormoz? You tell us to go out and evangelize and relatively safe in America. So I was preparing my mind to answer those questions. I pick up the phone. I hear this sweet voice of the young man. Pastor Hormoz, I insisted to call you to talk to you because I want to encourage you. You are doing the right thing. Don't give up. Continue. I said, how about you? You were in jail. You were tortured. He said, don't worry about us. It was an honor for me to be tortured for Jesus. And by the way, when I was in a torture chamber, he said, do you remember Psalm 23? He has set a table before my enemies. I said, yes, yes. He said, how can you experience that verse if your enemies are not there? He said, in the torture chamber, my torturers were there, but my sweet Jesus was also there. So don't worry about us. You continue what you're doing. This is the youth in Iran are ready to live and die for Jesus. Let's help.
That is one of the most amazing stories I have ever heard. And it should remind everybody who is listening right now that, of course, we need to pray, but then we need to get involved practically. And I want to recommend Iran Alive and what you all are doing there in the country of Iran and connect with Iran Alive, because I said this before, they are a solid organization, a solid ministry. They are highly accountable to their funds. Everything that comes in, they're accountable to all of that. It goes to what they say it's going to go to. And so visit their website, iranalive.org, iranalive.org. Please get involved. Again, so many ways for you to connect with Iran Alive, and just so many powerful stories coming from the country of Iran. And I know that this broadcast was such an eye-opener for so many who are listening today, because so much bad news out there, but a lot of good news coming in from the country of Iran.
Praise the Lord. And go on our website, get the testimonies. The minimum is you get encouraged. But let's join together to transform Iran into a Christian nation.
Dr. Hormoz Shariat, the founder of Iran Alive, and I want to encourage you to please visit their website, get involved with what they are doing. You can confidently support their ministry financially, prayerfully, so many different ways for you to get involved. iranalive.org is the website, iranalive.org. Dr. Shariat, thank you for joining us today on the Middle East Report. I want to encourage you to download a podcast of the show. Please share it with your friends. You can get a podcast of this wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all the major podcast platforms. Plus, you can go to afr.net. You can click on the podcast tab there and then search for the Middle East Report, and you'll find us right there. Thank you for listening to the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley.